have a public comment. So I'm going to officially open the meeting.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have our potentially next congressman or to lead us in the pledge.
I can do that.
Who voted today?
Yes, let's give allegiance to our great country. Repeat with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would let you take a roll call, but you see the only people that are going to be right here. Okay, chair, vice chair, and the events chair. Okay,
so right. No quorum. Okay.
So I will move right along because we do have someone for public comments. I'm going to read this because I need to read. All right. And I want to make this official. This agenda contains a brief description of each item to be considered, except as provided by law. No action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. To speak on an item, complete a speaker request form identifying the item and deposit it in the box on the chairman's desk, which I now. To speak on a matter not on the agenda, appearing on the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council, you may do so during the public comments. Speaker request forms you have already. When addressing the council, it is requested that you state your name for the record, address the council as a whole through the chairman. Comments to individual members or staff are not permitted. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. And our first person is Mr. Jason Keller from Capitol.
Caption call. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. My name is Jason Keller. I am a manager from Caption Call. And Caption Call is a service that we provide at no cost for people that are certified with our program. What it is, it's a captioning phone, very much like closed caption television, except on telephone, so people can read along with the conversations. Some people that really struggle with their phone conversations, they can't hear anything. This phone will allow them to read in the conversation. It's also an amplified phone so that they can read and follow along with by reading and not miss any part of the conversation. It's part of the Americans with Disabilities Act, so we offer this no cost. It's part of the federal program. It's not going to go anywhere as far as I understand. And we work very closely. We try as much as we can to do it for the veterans. This service is not only for vets. It's for anyone that has any kind of measurable hearing loss at all. What I would like to talk with you about specifically is the veterans, because that's what you do. We're trying to help as many vets. We work with the VA, although we have been able to establish closer ties with veteran service officers who can advocate for their patient. What's great about this is a lot of VSOs have to go to the VA, but there's no, with our program, there's no red tape. So at the end of the day, they get to certify their patients directly. The certification form comes to us, and we're calling our customers within a couple of days to schedule the appointment. We really believe in red carpet service. We actually go out to the homes of our customers. We install the phone for them. We teach them how to use it, make sure they feel comfortable with it. And when they have ongoing questions, we have ongoing customer support. If they need additional hand-holding, additional training, we will actually send someone out, one of our representatives, back out to give them the training that they need. So it's all-encompassing. There's no contracts or anything of that nature at all. And that's it. So I would love to have the opportunity to work with you, with everyone here. Anyone that you can point me in the right direction, the right person, VSOs, things like that. We want to just be a service. I believe that I am a patient advocate working on behalf of my customers as well as the veterans.
Okay. All right. Let me get out of public comments.
Do we have business cards?
Well, absolutely. We'll do this. Let me get out of public comments, and then we can ask you some questions.
Okay.
We're not allowed to ask questions during, you know, kind of like doing public comments, okay?
Okay, so my time is still gone, right?
Yeah, you're still going, yeah.
Okay.
You've got 3 minutes, but...
All right, well, so we're nationwide. We go anywhere in the nation, and I actually just attended a VSO stand-down in Lancaster last week, and we were able to certify 17 veterans from that organization, six the follow-up the previous day. Mm-hmm. And so this is a service that I think that people are, if they knew about it, they would love it. The issue is we're a baby company. We're about 9 years old, and so people don't know who we are yet, but we're trying to make the difference. Our phone is the premier service for captioning service that's out there. We're the only captioning phone that is TIA certified. TIA stands for Telecommunication Industry Administration Standard, which is a captioning phone, it's an amplified phone that the state offers. But we're the only captioning phone that gets to that standard, that quality of the sound quality. Because our amplified phone, the volume does increase dramatically, but the quality of the sound does not diminish as the volume gets. It doesn't get loud and distorted. It gets loud and it remains clear. That's very important. Captioning is done through our live captioning agents. It's not an automated service. That's important to know. And we make sure we let our patients know that and our customers. It's done through Dragon software. So we only hear half the conversation. They are considered confidential calls. So we don't hear anything that our customer says. We caption only the half the conversation that the caller is saying. And we require that our captioning agents be a minimum of 95% accurate before we release them on the phone. Normally it's more like 97, 98% accurate. And that all happens, all the captioning from when the person speaks to the captioning appearing on the screen for the benefit of the customer within a period of, you know, generally between 2 and 3 seconds, although depending on their bandwidth, it could be 4 to 5 seconds. But that's lightning fast when you consider the technology and where we used to come. Old captioning services were, you know, 20 seconds plus. So be able to have that consideration of a 2 to 3 second delay is nothing at all. And people can deal with that. So yeah, I'd love to talk with you gentlemen more, or okay. Have you tell me who I can talk with and see how we can help.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for
my pleasure.
Time.
All right.
Let's see. Is there any other public comments?
Nope.
Hearing none. Why don't we? If you have some questions for this gentleman here, do you have any questions?
Well, I would just like your business card.
Absolutely.
If you could give them to the clerk here.
I would be happy to.
She'll pass them out to us. And I will.
One thing I failed to mention is that we have an app. We just launched the app, which is really exciting. So people, this is a landline phone. It does require internet, but if they don't have a landline or very soon internet, we have solutions to help them with that. The iPhone app is great because if you have an iPhone, and they do have to get certified, but they can download this and go wherever they want. They can get captioning right on their phone. It works the same way as the phone does.
You got a question?
That was going to be my question, whether that was landline-based or whether you had the ability to transfer the mobile number over to that phone, because
yes.
A lot of people don't have landlines anymore. You don't really.
You're absolutely right.
Everybody has a smartphone. And
California is the number one state that we found of cutting the cord, we call it. People are getting rid of their landline. The only reason I have a landline is because I have small children who need it for an emergency. But most people are getting rid of their landline. That's the wave of the future. We had to make sure we could accommodate that. So we do have a device that will allow people to connect their cell phone number, which most people already have, to reach that person. It connects via Bluetooth, so it will ring through to this phone. And they can still answer their cell phone, but if it's within a range of 25 feet, they have the option. They can answer their cell phone, or it will also ring through that, and they can benefit from that with the captioning on there. And they won't miss any calls. And they can take this phone anywhere they want. It's their phone. It's registered to them. They take it anywhere if they go on trips. You know, we have snowbirds in, like, Arizona, things like that. But, you know, what's really exciting with the iPhone app is they can do it without even having to take this phone with them if they go on a trip, just with them wherever they go.
So if it works on the iPhone and it's available on the App Store, then you could ostensibly use it on like a tablet or iPad.
We have an app we've had the iPad app for a while. Mm-hmm. We haven't had as much traction. Just I think it's more of a demographic issue because our demographic is average age like 75 and older.
Okay.
And so people that have iPads, some are more tech savvy than others, but as a whole, we find that people are more comfortable with a traditional phone, and we haven't had as much usage on the iPad. But I think that's going to change now that we have the iPhone, because it's a phone. People are used to that technology. It'll allow us also to approach younger demographic people, veterans that are just coming out of service and they have hearing loss now. We can now help them. It's not something that's for someone that's elderly. This is for everyone.
Yeah. Great.
And Android will be launched later this year. So we'll be able to help anyone. You know, the government phone that the government offers, a lot of times they're Android capable. So obviously they can't do anything with the iPhone. But when we do launch the Android app, this probably, you know, by the end of the year, then we'll be able to service even homeless veterans. So when we go on these stand downs and we're talking with people that I don't have a phone, I don't have internet. What can I do? I have this phone. We'll be able to help that person. You know, we'll be able to help more people where they're at. No matter where they're at, we'll be able to help them.
Okay. My question. question to you is, who at the VA you work at? Which area are you working with at the VA? What departments?
I'm the manager, so I don't have the direct contact. It would be my account managers who have those relationships with the VA, but we work with the Lancaster. We work with the San Diego VA. We work with all the VA. The stumbling block is when we go in there, they're busy. They have their whole day. They see, like, you know, 25 plus, usually 40 patients a day, the audiologists. And we've been asked, and we respect this, that only by appointment do we come in, but usually they're way too busy seeing patients, which is their main focus. I respect that.
So you're working with the hospital people instead, as opposed to the benefits or group, right?
Mm-hmm. We work with all of the above. So it's our national accounts who has the relationships within the VA. So we have to contact our national accounts department who scheduled appointments within the VA.
Okay, then I guess my next question would be, are we connected to the, is your phone connected to a VA unit somewhere?
Yes, okay. It is.
Doesn't that seem to be kind of an inefficient way of working? I mean, if they have to go out and talk to each of the individual VSOs,
it should be pushed
from.
That's what I was asking.
The main VA down.
Yeah.
That would make it more effective.
I agree with you, and we've just started to broach the veteran service officers.
You do have a national account with the VA.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, but every VA location is a little bit different. Some we have, they're
that's
more.
That's frustrating as heck.
Yeah, so, you know, that's our challenge. And we've just found, because the veteran service officers are just outside the door, that they're more accessible. But yeah, I mean, if someone that you knew of that we could contact that might be excited about this inside the VA, and then we could push it out and help more people. We've been spreading it by word of mouth, big time right now.
All right, thank you, Jason.
Okay. My pleasure. I'll get you some business cards.
Yeah, thank you. I got your number if we need to ask you more questions. All right.
Okay, fantastic.
Sure, thank you.
Appreciate your time.
No, thank you. Well, do we have an executive committee report there, Mr. Vice Chair?
I do not.
Okay, neither do I. The action item that we had, needless to say, they're on the table again because Mr. Munoz and Mr. Softner is not here. And they're the ones that asked to put this on here, so we will table that till they get here.
Okay.
And then number 7, Orange County Veterans and Military Family Collaborative Update. Let's see, Mr. Carl is not here. And let's see, the Orange County Veterans Service Veterans Office Representative, and we have Mr. Herrick is here.
Well, we're here.
You guys are busy, busy, huh?
Yes, we are. Comparatively to 2019, in January, we served quite a few veterans, 1,391.
Just last month?
This was just last month.
Wow.
We're probably averaging a good 100 or so, 70 to 100 people a day contacts. The number of claims filed, 1,416. That may look a little different from last year, simply because I think during that time we had more people coming in filing different types of claims, so that ebbs and flows, and it should ebb and flow quite a bit with the amount of claims that are submitted versus wards coming in. 23 college fee waivers. It would note that we are fully automated at this point. We're still testing it. I don't know when we're going to release it to the public.
I'm meeting with Renee tomorrow to talk about moving from our soft launch phase, which is just our, you know, working out the internal workflow, making sure that there's no bugs that are identified before we push it out to the public. But we do want to post it on our website and then get with board offices to get it in their newsletters and maybe do some sort of press release or something like that. So any ideas that you would have to kind of get the word out that this is fully automated and available would be great.
It's great. We during the soft launch, we had a chance to set with people who were coming in to drop off their college fee waivers and set up those accounts for them. But they are receiving responses back via the email as to whether or not it's been approved. They all have been approved. But that part of it is working very well.
How far out, can I ask a question? How far out are appointments?
So we, as you look at our numbers, I was going to get to the phone calls. So we had 1,129 phone calls. The majority of those, I'd say about 80% of those phone calls were requests for appointments. We're scheduling appointments now for mid-April. We're starting to go into May, but that is also a testament to the volume and capacity of people to come in to potentially file claims or finding out about this office. We are seeing a lot more newer claims, claimants coming into the office to file those claims, which is a good thing. I think some of it is due to the veterans driver's license designation as well. So if those folks are coming in to get that designation, and the real ID, of course, is a motivator.
Yeah.
We're also scheduling those appointments in office. So we're doing a little bit of both, which is pushing our scheduled appointment times out. But we are scheduling appointments. Usually scheduled appointments are about 12 to 15 a day, including our walk-ins.
When you schedule appointments that far out, isn't that increasing the number of appointments that are canceled?
Ironically, no. We're not seeing people cancel those appointments because of that very reason, that they're scheduled so far out. So people are showing up just because they don't want to be pushed back even further
than the 90 days.
The 30 to 90 days that we do have. Where there's opportunities for us to expedite appointments for people who are aging, or folks who are potentially either going into some sort of long-term care facility, we push those and expedite those appointments very quickly. What else? That's about it. Emails as well.
The good news, it's if you go in unannounced at the DMV, it's a minimum an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
It's a minimum 150 minutes. So at 82 minutes is close.
Yeah. And I, you know, our wait times.
Hour 20. But that's
is that the benchmark now? The DMV?
Well, it is when you go in.
That's our new standard.
Yeah.
Just to be better than the DMV.
And that's if you have all your crap together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you don't have to take the test.
Of course, we've all dealt with
it. Yeah, you don't have to take the written test anyway. But if you know all the answers, then
this real ID you need now, does our military ID work for that? Or do you have to go to...
No, you got to go to
real ID.
You got to go to real ID. And the DD-214 don't work. You have to have a real birth certificate and a real Social Security.
Yeah. And a real passport.
Well, the passport serves as the birth certificate and the Social Security. If you've got a passport, that works. But it's either or. But...
I can say we're probably, for those IDs, we're seeing anywhere from 10 to 15 a day. They usually come in heavily on Fridays because most of the surrounding counties are closed. We have heard people say, we can get in here and get done within an hour or so. Which is a good thing. Better than the DMV.
Once you hit the golden age of 70, sir.
Hey, I'm not far off.
When you hit the golden age of 70, you're going to have to go to the driver's license and take a driver's test.
Okay.
Written. The good news about that, though, if you're 70 and you're a senior, you only get 18 questions. You don't have to do the full 36.
Really?
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch more questions on
there. I get the book, and as I stand in line for that hour and a half, I read it, and then I take the test.
I wouldn't suggest that.
No.
Because there's a lot more stuff in the book than you know. Okay. And besides, if you're like me, you didn't take that test since 1964.
Yeah. Is it in English?
Oh, and Spanish, and Vietnamese.
And Korean.
Okay, and Korean.
Chinese.
Pick your poison.
Okay.
Anyway, but 150.
We're drifting.
It's not really a benchmark, but you have that as a unit of measure.
It's one of our selling points.
Yeah, a unit of measure.
And people are, they're obliged to sit and wait to get it done. We haven't seen folks leave.
That's because you got the TVs on in here.
Well, it has been on in a while. Yeah. We do keep people engaged and entertained throughout the day.
You have to buy a ticket to the show.
All right.
Anyway, but I see that things have at least it stayed the same with 82 minutes in 2019, so it was consistent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sir, thank you very kindly.
All right.
All right. Let's see. Kevin's not here. Ben's not here.
David's not
here.
David's not.
Oh.
Councilmember Hahn with the events.
You're here.
I am here, thank you. So for the remainder of the month, we have on the 21st of February, of course, with the race on the base, or race up the base at Los Al. And then on the 24th, there's a night of service with Marine One and Olive Crest Network. And then the 29th, there's the 45th Annual American Awards. That's interesting. Nothing for March yet, though.
Okay.
So if anyone knows of any veteran-related events, please feel free to send them my way.
I think the children's and families and children's function has come up in later in March. So I'll let you know about that.
Okay.
And then I'll get Danny.
When's your event? Remember, I did the pledge that year.
April's the month of the military channel.
Mine's not until September. September. Yeah. One thing I will get to you, and I'll get that to you later.
Okay.
Heroes Hall, we will be doing all the birthdays again. So we'll do the Army. And then it's the Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy,
Marine.
And then Marines. Yeah. Save the worst for last.
Oh, come on.
And then,
Semper Fi.
This year is also the 75th anniversary of the Iwo Jima.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Wasn't it yesterday? It was this weekend. Yeah, it's from the paper. And then,
here comes Ben.
Oh, just in time for your report. Hustle.
Hustle.
And then it's the two things, extra things that will happen this year. We'll do the 45th anniversary of the 45th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. So we're going to be 45 years. So we're going to be working with the Vietnamese community at that at Heroes Hall. And in spite of what happened yesterday, and the Boy Scouts going filing for Chapter 11, we're going to look into doing this 100th anniversary of the Boy Scouts. So we're looking at doing something with veterans and the Boy Scouts for the Veterans Day program at the Heroes Hall.
Right. Okay. Did I see we're doing something with young Marines?
Nope. Not that I know of. Okay. Now we can, if you've concluded with your report. Okay, now we can backtrack a little bit to the CalVet link update. Mr. Ben.
All right, CalVet. Sorry, I'm late. So actually, it was worth being late because it will enhance my report. I figured out. Erica, did you mention that we just had this meeting?
I let Bob know.
Okay, yes. Great. Yeah, so Erica, Renee, and I just met with Linda Davis.
Dr. Linda Davis.
Yeah, yeah. He's the head of the Veteran Experience Office, as Erica noted. And it was a great meeting. And a couple of things that came out of it. They're interested in engagement and solutions to make care feel accessible and meaningful. You know, the classic stuff, right? That affects veterans and non-veterans, anyone trying to connect to complicated bureaucracies, right? It's hard, you know. And so they're interested in that. And they understand, very forthright, you know, saying, yeah, the VA system is hard to understand, and it needs to be easier to understand, you know, for not just for veterans, but for service providers. And so they're working on it, and they'd like to test some new presentations with our Children and Families Committee of the Collaborative and our new Senior Veteran Task Force, kind of looking at how information is presented and how access works. So I hope that from that meeting, we will have better connections to the VA, you know, because it's always been a bit of a struggle, you know, and the VA is really big, and they really should have not just one person, but a couple different folks, you know, at the table. So that was good. And then there was also talk about the CVSO, you know, and the hard work that's being done and that they recognize and the challenges of meeting the demands of a lot of people that need help. And Dr. Davis is not afraid to think outside the box and looking at possibilities of collaborating and how they could even use VA employees to perhaps handle claims, this came up a little later, Erica, handle stuff remotely. To look at just strategies, you know, and so she's a outside the box thinker, you know, and that was good. So we'll see, you know, but at least the conversation there. I genuinely believe that they will follow up with us, and how much they can do, you know, I'm sure they got people they got to deal with too. So that was good. Other than that, you know, things going on. We talk about Santa Ana Veterans Village opening up. So that this housing complex that everyone's been talking about for a long time actually is really going to open up. And I don't know the exact date yet, but apparently it is this month or next month. This complex is opening up.
Let us know.
Yeah. And they're taking, if you have a veteran that wants to apply, you actually go through the same process as applying for regular HUD-VASH. So the VA's Community Resource and Referral Center. Same process. On the employment side, we had a great Career Pathways event at the end of January. It's a program that used to be running, and we had basically the idea is not it's not a job fair, but to expose veterans to different career paths. You know what it takes to get into it, what's involved. And we had FBI there, we had sheriff there, immigration, customs was there. Really successful. They're hiring, and a lot of veterans were engaged. Actually, Josh Newman. He showed up, a long time veteran advocate. He's running for office again.
After he got thrown out.
After the gas. Yeah.
Thank
you. But and children and families. We got the big resource fair event celebration of military families coming up on April 4th. I'm pretty sure. So good stuff going on.
Two things. Number one, I had a chance to drive by Placentia Village off of York, so that's going up fast, too.
Oh, really?
I need to stop this weekend just go by and take pictures of Santa Ana Village and Placentia Village and bring them in. Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, and I'd be remiss, Bobby, if I didn't know Bobby's great work. We had a great general meeting, so how can I forget that, where Bobby brought in the executive director of the Center for Minority Affairs for the VA, and he was very well received. Mm-hmm. His name is blanking on here, and help me out.
Mr. Stephen B. Dillard.
Thank you, Stephen Dillard. Great guy, a lot of interest, and so that was great. And I think some follow-up to come from that, I'm sure.
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
I used to be busy. Now I'm busy. Well, we had there was, if I may add to your report there, we took Mr. Dillard over to the Tierney Center, and there was an issue with local rehab. Because it's no longer there, and so the conversation got deep, and so there's a presentation that went back to the department, because I guess it's today or tomorrow. Mr. Dillard's having a meeting with doing the Black History Month program back at the benefits piece, so that that information is back there. And then a couple other bits of information that came out. Sending stuff back and forth, so it turned out to be a real nice fact-finding thing, and then of course it worked. We went to the VA hospital in Long Beach, and that was pretty impressive too. So just some of those things that, you know, it's just nice that, like you were talking about Dr. Davis, I'm looking forward to seeing her later on, but when you have people like Dr. Davis and Mr. Dillard coming out, listening to what we have to say, seeing firsthand for themselves, and they're already doing something about it. Okay, I just have to do a PowerPoint, make a presentation in Tampa in a couple months. But I had nothing else to do. So. But anyway, thank you for bringing that up. It was nice to at UC Irvine hosted it, hosted the breakfast, and he also talked about with the secretary. Veterans Affairs is doing it. He reports strictly to the secretary, so it's not just someone that goes into a meeting. I mean, that's a straight point. So we know what's happening. So anyway, finish your report.
Good.
Done.
But now they're right there.
All right. Thank you. Save your best for last. Thank you.
But no, I just think that it's interesting when you have these folks. I think that Mr. Dillard and Dr. Davis, I think there's something comparable in where they're coming from. You know, they don't run huge offices, you know, but there are these people that can kind of just get out there on the ground, and they have access to high-ranking people. You know, and I think it's an interesting place they can kind of come from in that way.
Well, the thing that I liked is usually when they come, they either go to San Diego or Los Angeles. They never come to L.A. Now, although when Mr. Dillard said, I'm coming to L.A., I'm like, so to pick him up at LAX, and even in the Diamond Lane, or take him back at 6 o'clock in the morning, going in, even in the Diamond Lane, it's still an hour and a half.
You'll get that right next time. He'll be coming to John Wayne next time. I'm confident.
Well, you know, they don't because I guess with the government, they got to fly Southwest or something. Yeah. Delta, if you go to Delta, you got to fly into Atlanta, and then it's a 2.5-hour layover and come in. So, you know, people, and it's nonstop. But when Washington calls, you go to LA. Okay. Or we can figure out a way to get them to land at Los Al. With Air Force One or Air Force Two.
I'll talk to Trump too.
Well, you know, Obama did. When Obama came out, he came and spoke at UCI commencement 1 year.
He landed at Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles.
Been
Los
7-4.
Right there. That helicopter zone and everything. Yeah. So, okay, well, right there. But anyway, thank you. Okay. Any comments, questions from anything? Nothing. All right. Now we're in our council comments. I'm going to go back to on the action item number B. One of the things that we're looking at, and we need to kind of get this squared away by the next meeting.
Yeah.
Or we used it for the last 3 or 4 years, last 5 years. We've met with Los Angeles Veterans Advisory Council at Long Beach Hospital, and it's kind of like LA and Orange County getting together and putting our heads together, seeing what we're doing in both counties, and it's kind of like at the DMZ because the Long Beach is right there on the border with LA and Orange County.
Right.
So, but we need to discuss and talk about it. I mean, have to get the job on the phone to find out what we can do because we want to have that meeting there calling. We want to do it in April. That's around the corner.
Yeah.
But because of the prevailing winds.
Can we talk to Renee or who we talked to?
Well, the prevailing winds now is we have to meet at 11 o'clock on the third Wednesday. And that's something, it was also stated that we could go outside, but, you know, I don't know if we have to go to a supervisor to make that happen or whatever, because the group here has to follow directions and follow rules.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, because you asked about it, I'm asking about it, you've asked about it, some of the other members. But this I'm just discussing the parameters behind the action item. We can't take action on it, because we don't have a quorum. But that's something we need to take a look at. And that's something that's been on the books for the last 5 years. And they're asking if they miss it. And it gives us a chance to go to the hospital and hear with Dannenberg and the rest of the people and the other visit groups up there. So, all right, I'll bring that up again. All right, you got any council comments?
Yeah, did you mention April 4th is a celebration of military?
Yeah,
where's that at?
Heroes Hall. Freedom Hall, Heroes Hall.
Yeah. Which one now?
Celebration of military families.
Miles Square Park, thanks.
Yeah, Miles Square. Is it Miles Square?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where is it? Pretty sure it's 10 to 2.
Got to join?
Freedom Hall, Miles Square.
No, it was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, they
all right. Yeah. All right. I'll take a look at it. We can pass that out.
Yes.
Kind of similar to like you guys, I made an appointment at the clinic in Laguna Hills. It took about 2 months to get on there, but today was my day. Actually, last week I was my physical, and last week they did my blood. I went in at 9, I went in at 9, I went in at 9, I left at 9:15. Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing service. Today I have my physical at 9, I went in at 9, I left at 9:30. Amazing. So the VA is doing a great job. And it takes a while to get an appointment, kind of like you guys, but hats off to the Laguna Hills VA system. Yeah, I was really impressed. Plus, they gave me a couple vaccines I was shy on. You know, there's a vaccine for pneumonia now or something?
Mm-hmm.
So I took that one. So hats off for what you guys all do here. It means a lot to us veterans. And I was just in there talking to some of the people. And they're nice and quiet and calm, which is good. I'm sure you've seen that otherwise. But keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
And by the way, you've got one of the heroes from in World War II as part of the D-Day stuff sitting in your office.
Is that right?
There, yeah. One of the Latino fellows, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Say hi.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't remember. Okay. He's just been to a couple of events. If I was allowed to call Judge Fred Aguirre, he would tell me. Okay. All right. But anyway, just thought I'd give you that time.
All right.
You
guys.
So one of the things that's happening in L.A. County is they have the Veterans Homeless Shelter in LA County is going to be opening up in roughly 30-45 days. And it's located at the VA Medical Center So VA Greater Los Angeles, right there off of Wilshire and
West LA, yeah.
Right. It's interesting because it's 100 beds. And I went out and looked at the facility, and it's interesting. It's basically like tents. They call it a tent, but it's really not. It's a permanent structure. It's not canvas. It's not, so it's windproof, environment proof, that sort of thing. But it was just an interesting facility, interesting concept. Veterans can come in. They can stay there for, I think, up to 6 months. So they can't stay there permanently, but at least it'll help them through whatever issues are going on. And it's being done in partnership with the city of LA. They purchased the tents and funded the construction and everything. And then the VA is actually handling the management of the facility. So they're using it as basically a pilot program to see how well it works and whether they can roll it out to different jurisdictions and localities. But it would be great to see if we could get something like that if we need it in Orange County. So it's like a transitional or a veteran homeless.
Do you want me to comment on that a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually have a lot of exposure to that. So I worked on that campus for 5 years. I used to live in LA. Mm-hmm. And so I know that campus really well. What's interesting about that to me is that, you know, on that campus right now, you have a program called New Directions for Veterans, the Transitional Living Center for Veterans. There's about 200 beds in their main building right there. The Calvet State Home is there.
Yes.
They also have the domiciliary. So the VA has two buildings, which are also, in essence, transitional programs. Each has 150 beds. They have 300 dom beds. They also have some smaller programming there, too. So, and New Directions always has empty beds. So I'm wondering if the part of the thinking on that is that when you go to LA now, it's like worse than ever in terms of homelessness. Like there's more tents on the streets now than there used to be. And so I just wonder if they're looking at things that are less restrictive, you know, for homeless veterans. So like maybe veterans that don't want to go into a program where you have to comply by the rules, you have to, you know, try to get a job or benefits or whatever. If they're saying, look, at least come off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come to the safer place. I don't really know. I'm kind of speculating. But if they're doing tents, I don't see what else it would be. Because I mean, I think that's got to be part of the thinking.
But it's a big tent.
It's a big tent, right? But it's still not a physical structure. It's kind of a tent, you're saying, right?
Well, it is a permanent structure in that, you know, it's not going to be something you just tear down and move.
Okay, right.
So there are 50 beds in each of the tents, and it's only for males. They can bring their pets, their dogs, cats, whatever. They can bring them with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. One article I read a couple months ago, I think they said there were 10,000 piles of trash from homeless camps in the city of L.A.
Yeah.
10,000 piles. And they can't touch them. They can't move them because they're somebody's property.
Wow.
So they inventory it.
Yeah. But, you know, we have, so the VA has over 1,000, they call it grant per diem beds of transitional housing in LA. It's like VA funded. The VA gives the provider like $45 a night to do the housing. And we have zero of that kind of housing in Orange County. And actually, VOA was trying to get a grant to have a program like that, and we still don't have it.
Wow.
So we could definitely use that.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They're working on it.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. I know that veterans of VOA LA has been down here talking. I know Chase has been working with them, and we've been trying to get some people to work with the city council in LA, excuse me, in Anaheim. There's some places there, some old hotels that they're looking at trying to convert over. So I've helped put together some meetings for that. So we know that the ball is rolling to do something here.
Yeah.
But again, as I said, the meeting with Mr. Dillard when he was here, you know, 8 years ago, we didn't have this. We weren't even close to this. We didn't have any of this. So,
but that's really interesting that they've gone that way on that campus.
Yeah.
that's surprising to me, honestly, that someone agreed to do that, some kind of not just brick and mortar on that campus.
Okay, if there's nothing else to come before the group.
Well,
meeting's adjourned.
We are adjourned to what, 18th March?
Probably. Phil Manning's
All right, thank you, everybody.
Huh?